This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
We're going to talk about looters, thieves, and the bottom barrel of society. New York is a great example right now. We're going to talk about a Supreme Court justice retiring. Mark Morano was here. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, so we're going to talk about New York City for a moment. And I want you to understand this is not specifically about New York City at all, although it's a place I dearly love to visit. My wife and I like to go up there and get a sidewalk hot dog and then feel bad about ourselves, but that's another story entirely. This is about communists, who they are, who they recruit, why they do what they do, and really the reason they're always trying to make it a global thing. Communism was never meant to be for New York City or New York State or the United States of America or Russia. Communism has to be everywhere. Now let's first discuss how did we get this evil regime in the most important city in the world? Well, you know this, we discuss this all the time. FFC. FFC is the only reason there is a Democrat Party. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, there's no Democrat Party. It does not exist in any significant form. It's probably a 20% party. If you look at how the issues poll, it's probably a 20% party, which is so small, they would actually close the doors of the DNC. They would have to completely remake it, rebrand it. It would disappear entirely. But instead, it's half the country, isn't it? It's half the country, probably going to take back the House. How's that possible? Well, you need fraud. You need to steal from the taxpayer, loot the taxpayer, and hand it out to allies, bribe people for votes. You need foreigners. How could a guy like Mamdani get elected in New York City when all the polling showed that American New Yorkers rejected him? Well, these people didn't.
This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah.
Why would Joe Biden import 20 million foreigners in just 4 years? We've never seen an immigration spike like that. Well, because you can't lose an election if you do that. These people don't care about the Constitution, freedom. They certainly don't care about our lame arguments like, that won't work. That they're here. Who do you think they're going to vote for? Who do you think Mamdani courted to win his election?
We have the power to set ourselves free. And I consider my own faith, Islam, a religion built upon a narrative of migration. The story of the Hijra reminds us that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a stranger too, who fled Mecca and was welcomed in Medina. Surah An-Nahl 16:42 tells us, as for those who immigrated in the cause of Allah after being persecuted, we will surely bless them with a good home in this world. Or as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam began as something strange and will go back to being strange. So glad tidings to the strangers. If faith...
And it should be noted, Mamdani's only been in there a little more than a month, and he rewarded those foreigners for putting him in office. New York City. That's how they do it. That's why every single Democrat in the United States of America, from the Senate to the House of Representatives, all the way down to your city council, will tell you right to your face that immigrants built America and that deporting anyone, anyone at all, is tantamount to Nazism. Why are they doing this? Because with the mass importation of foreign barbarians, they cannot possibly lose. And with the deportation of foreign barbarians, they cannot possibly win. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, the Democrat Party ceases to exist. And now that they're there, who's staffing this communist regime in New York City? Well, it's all the dregs of society. It's one of those things you almost marvel at it when you read history, the history of Cambodia, the Soviet Union, China, East Germany, communist regime after communist regime. They pluck the biggest scumbags, murderous pieces of trash in society, and they place them in high positions of power. They give them government power to carry out their campaign of revenge. Here's Mem Dani's housing director.
Democratically controlled public housing is really important. And that's why when Raquel is talking about the communities and that she's describing, that, you know, that's a created community where the people who are living there are like setting the agenda. And so, you know, people like home ownership because they like control, and that's been perverted by like deep racism and deep classism in our society. So like we have to not have a racist and classist society. And so that's like something we need to think about like deeply. It's about control, and why rent control is really important is because rent control alters the power dynamic between renters and who owns the building.
Of course, they use words like equality and things like that, but what is that really? Well, they see the poll numbers. They know how white people voted. They know how everyone else voted. They intend to reward the people who voted for them and punish the people who voted against them. And there's another thing that people can't wrap their minds around with the Democrat Party, their love of criminals. Open jails? Constantly giving lighter sentences to the biggest barbarians, letting them out of jail to kill, rape, do all kinds of horrible things again. The new mayor of New York City, we saw this on video, by the way. A cop's body camera showed us this man charging the police officer, knife in hand. Here's the mayor of New York City afterwards.
I will say, however, that no family should have to endure this kind of pain. What they need right now is care, dignity, and support. Chavez should not be prosecuted by the Queens District Attorney. His handcuffs should be removed.
Why? The bottom barrel dirt balls, they choose Democrats. They're always going to side with Democrats. Their friends, their family members will side with Democrats. Democrats inherently know the normal, well-put-together family person, family man, family woman, a person with a normal life, a job, hobbies. That person is inherently not going to vote Democrat most of the time. But if you plumb the depths of society and pull the bottom 5-10% out of it, they'll choose Democrat every single time. They'll choose communism every single time. This is no different than what the Soviets did. One of their first acts was walking down to the prison with the keys in hand and letting the rapists free, letting the murderers free, and then installing judges to ensure these people would not be held to account when they inevitably, of course, committed more crimes. I know it's hard to accept and it sounds partisan, but I am partisan. I'm also telling you the truth. The Democrat Party is a source of insane evil now. It is an evil, demonic party. And that brings me to the control part. Why was the rallying cry from the very beginning, workers of the world unite? I mean, Marx, he wrote that in Germany, and then the communist revolution took place in Russia, and it was all these different countries. Why wasn't it just about Russia or just about China? Why was it workers of the world unite? Well, Mem Dani said something yesterday, the day before, about property tax. Well, here he was.
What we would rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the retiree health benefits trust reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
raid. Now, here's something the communist understands. Here's why it has to be for the entire world. The communist has always understood that people will reject communism and they will do whatever they can to escape communism. Did you know after the Russian Revolution, they famously gathered and screamed about seizing the passports? It was in Russian, of course, but seizing the passports, seize the passports. Why? They knew people would try to get out. Mamdani and the communists around him understand that people will try to get out of New York City. So then they're going to lobby for New York State. Grab these people, keep these people. Then they'll lobby for the country itself. No, 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 come back. We'll tax you anyway. Mamdani said this on camera. But then what if they actually conquer the United States of America, God forbid? They know that you, I, if we have the means to do so, we will get out, we will escape because we don't want to live under this kind of evil. So you see, you have to have it so people cannot possibly escape it. It is evil, it is destructive, and it is hell-bent on taking over everything. Never, ever, ever forget what you're up against. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk a bit about the Senate, Chuck Schumer, other things. Before we get to that, let me get to your sleep. How do you sleep? How do you wake up? That's really the test. It's not about the middle of the night. How do you feel when those eyes flutter open in the morning? Do you feel good? Peppy? Ready to go? Feel like crap. You see, Dream Powder from Beam will have you sleeping well and feeling good when you wake up and all day long. There is such a difference in your life when you start stringing together 8 hours of sleep, 9 hours of sleep a night. How about a cup of hot chocolate to get you there? You see, that's what Dream Powder is. It's hot chocolate with natural things inside of it. Reishi and magnesium and melatonin and things like that. You just kind of drift off to sleep, and you don't wake up all groggy. You wake up feeling good and ready to take on the day. Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Trump administration's removal of the Pride Rainbow flag from the Stonewall National Monument is a deeply outrageous action that must be reversed. It's an effing disgrace.
Right.
It's just awful. When the Trump administration ripped the Pride flag down, it was a direct attack on this community, attempt to chip away at hard-won civil rights. So today we're fighting back and taking action. I am introducing legislation to designate the Pride flag as a congressionally authorized flag in America, and that means it can be flown here and everywhere else. And no one can take it down.
Democrats are just all in on all this gay stuff. It's wild. Joining me now, the president of Courage is a Habit, Alvin Louis. I hope I didn't screw that up. Okay, Alvin, this issue, I don't feel like, now I'm in my own bubble, I admit that, but I don't feel like this issue is a popular one with the American people, even ones who are okay with it, just kind of want to be left alone about the whole thing. Yet Democrats are all in all the time on all this rainbow demonic filth. Why?
Because I think they're demonic. Exactly what you said. Thanks for having me, Jesse. Yeah. Appreciate being here. You know, I think this is such an insufferable, at best, it's insufferable and annoying to people. But we know it's more than that. It's more than that. It's dangerous. It's demonic. They go after children in schools, which is what Courage is a Habit focuses on, all the indoctrination in K-12. And you see this in everywhere in school. It's not just a classroom. It's not just a book. It's not one teacher. It is the entire mental health profession, Jesse, in government K-12, outside of schools, family therapy, social workers, you name it, CPS. And it is such a virus. It's such a virus to anything good and decent. You've got these mentally degenerate men going into women's sports, into their locker rooms, into their spas. You've got them going to women's prisons, shelters where women and children are the most vulnerable. It is a complete virus. And the way, and a lot of people, especially in my world, you've got parents going, I can't believe this. What is, how did we get here? And there's a lot of different answers, because you can have the medical side of it, you got the political side of it. But all that is just the end result. The way we got here is simply because we're too kind. The way they got it into schools is because of the be kind and the empathy and all those different things. So this is where we are, because we are too inclusive. We need to embrace exclusion.
Can you maybe expand a little bit on the medical side of it? The political side and the spiritual side and all that stuff is obviously very real and maybe even more important. But for a lot of people, they have a hard time wrapping their minds around the doctor in a white lab coat wanting to chop their son's penis off. Why would some child psychiatrist want to tell a young girl that she doesn't need a uterus anymore? It seems so evil that these trusted figures are doing the most evil things. How do we get here?
Well, there's a couple of answers to that. The first one is the medical schools and all this trainings, all the colleges and universities where these people get their degrees have all been co-opted. And it's been co-opted for quite some time. It's been taken over by quite some time. But obviously, as the decades went on, they were able to really push their ideology into all the different degrees and professions. Like the Hippocratic Oath. There's a university, there's a medical school that changed the Hippocratic Oath. And it's all DEI nonsense. It's all the DEI garbage. And so when these students graduate from these universities, from these medical centers, or from if they're learning to be a degree in social work or therapy, they all carry that virus with them. Same thing with the school counselors. In school counselors, all the counselors come from the American School Counselor Association. That's all they are. They're just foot soldiers for the transgender cult. Now, you think that once you get to the point where you get to the surgery, that surgeons would surely stop this, that you wouldn't need the Supreme Court or anybody to stop them, that they would go, okay, I don't care what you lunatics talk about outside, but when you come to this hospital, we're not chopping off healthy body parts. But nope. They are for a lot of reasons, namely what I said about, you know, the schools, the education, but also the money involved in putting one of these children from a very young age, starting at puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones to puberty blockers and surgeries, is a lifelong patient. They're a lifelong patient, so there's a lot of money into it. And Jesse, the last reason, honestly, besides the school and the money, the people with degrees can easily be fooled more than anybody else. I've talked to so many doctors who have been screaming about this, trying to sound the alarm, and I would always ask them the same question. How is it possible that people who reach a level of education to be a doctor or a surgeon, even something specialist like this, how is it that they cannot have the common sense that a regular person having no degree has? And you know what? They are just as shocked as we are. All they can tell me, I've asked so many doctors, they just say, they just listen to their peers. They listen to these, places like the WPATH and these lunatic organizations. And we found this in COVID, Jesse, didn't we? We saw this in COVID, that the medical professions, many of them, are some of the dumbest people in the world. They are really easy to fool. And we just, that's something that we never really thought that would be true.
The Supreme Court, they're working on this right now, right? What's happening?
Well, there's a couple of cases. In fact, I was just at the front of the Supreme Court last month on two cases, actually. It's two schools. It is West Virginia versus PBJ and Hecox versus Little. And they're both schools that are fighting to keep men out of women's sports. And so those are huge cases, because it's two different schools, and obviously we expect it to go the way I didn't want to say our way, Jesse. It's not even our way. It's just a way of common sense that the Supreme Court's going to rule that the schools are able to keep boys out of women's sports, girls' sports, and by extension, of course, locker rooms and bathrooms. But the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States had to listen to something this type level of lunacy – shows you that as a culture, we have allowed too much of this in because of the empathy and the kindness and those type of things. Because as you know, Jesse, as you've said many, many times, laws on the books and these rulings are simply a downstream from culture. And if the culture told these people to go kick rocks and they said, oh, you have to use my pronouns or I'm going to feel offended and you're going to hurt my feelings, if everybody said, I don't care, go get your feelings hurt then. If everyone did that, none of this exists. None of this exists. This exists on the backs of people's kindness. And so the fact that the Supreme Court has to listen to these two cases, last year, the Supreme Court also listened to another case where it did go our way, where they said that the states have the right to not, they can say our state will not have children go through medical sterilization and mutilation surgeries, that the states have the right to do that. That case in 2024 went our way. But the fact that we have to chip away at it like this goes to show you just how deep this transgender demonic rot is.
God. Alvin, come back soon. I appreciate that very much, man. All right. Before we get to Alex Sawyer, we need testosterone to fight these demons. Study after study after study shows that the more testosterone you have, the more resilient you are against communism. Did you know that? Are you taking your male vitality stack from Chalk every day? You should be. You could be 60, 90 days away from feeling like a new person. Chalk is here with natural herbal supplements to make you feel better. Start now. Start today, because you don't even know what you're missing out on. Your mind works better. Your mood is better. You have such great energy all the time. They have things for women. They have female vitality stacks, all kinds of stuff for women, stuff for men. I personally take a male vitality stack every day. They have pre-workout called Chad Mode. You name it, Chuck has it. CHOQ.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, there are rumors, aren't there always rumors? Only these rumors are about one of the really great justices, Justice Alito. The rumors are saying that he's getting ready to retire. I don't know anything about that. That's not my job. Alex, I bet, knows. Joining me now, Alex Sawyer, editor-at-large of the Washington Times. All right, Alex, is Alito retiring? And if so, why?
You give me way too much credit to think I'm going to know the answer to this question, but I have been chasing so many people around asking nonstop. So the kind of feel in Washington is these conservative judicial advocates, they don't really want to talk about retirements because they don't want to look like they're pushing anyone off the court, right? But there is this idea that Justice Alito, Justice Thomas, they're getting up there in age. Are they going to go ahead and retire before the midterms while Republicans have the majority? I think if I was a betting woman, I would bet Alito would be the one most likely to take that opportunity over Justice Thomas. And there's two reasons for that. Justice Thomas is the leading conservative appointee on the bench. When Chief Justice Roberts is in the minority, it's Justice Thomas that gets to assign the opinions. It's basically his court right now. We've talked about this in the past, I think, you and I. So it looks like he's having a lot of fun. Justice Alito seems to be less of an institutionalist. I think he would look at it more from the stance of politics, really, like the idea that President Trump could have another appointment, that the Republicans currently hold the Senate. What could happen if Republicans don't do well in the midterms? They would lose Senate seats. And what would that mean for his seat? So, you know, if I was going to bet between the two of them, I could see Alito stepping down and retiring before Thomas. But we'll see.
You're not a gambling woman, Alex? I pictured you at the blackjack tables. You don't do the gambling thing?
Maybe. Depends how much money's in that account, Jesse.
All right. Now, if he does leave, and I know we're doing a whole bunch of hypotheticals here before we get to other ones, do we have some kind of a roster we're happy with?
Yes.
Because most people, myself included, we don't focus on the minor leagues. We don't know about them. Please, who are they?
So at least one name has been out there, And when I've asked some of my sources about it, I've kind of gotten a face where it seems like this could be legitimate. And that is Andy Oldman on the Fifth Circuit. I don't know too much about him other than that I believe he comes, I think he was a Trump appointee to that court during the first term. So there needs to be a lot of vetting in terms of where he stands on various issues. There's some other strong conservatives from the Fifth Circuit. For example, there's James Ho. I think he was one of the judges, though, that ruled against the president and his birthright citizenship fight. And I know you always ask me about that one. Maybe that might be a strike against him. We're going to have to see. I wouldn't be surprised if we get someone from the Fifth Circuit, since we know they tend to be the most conservative circuit across the country.
Yeah, James Ho can go screw himself. All right, let's focus on the redistricting maps. California, the Supreme Court ruled California can take their gerrymandered map and use it all they want. Is this going to hurt us in the midterms? Is it even going to happen before the midterms? There's always this lag that I don't understand.
That's a good question. You know, I think that right now courts are allowing these maps to be implemented. Supreme Court has allowed both Texas and California to use their maps. My take, talking to various people and hearing from politicos on this, is that it's happening in a number of states. So this could end up eventually canceling each other out, right? I guess we'll have to wait and see exactly how far states go. Virginia, the new governor there, Abigail Spanberger, she ran on the idea of being against this partisan gerrymandering. However, now that she's won and she's in office, it looks like Virginia is slated to go from a 6-5 Democrat state to now 10-1. I mean, that's drastic. So yeah, if states go ahead and make those types of drastic moves, I do suspect it having repercussions. I've noticed that there seems red states are a bit hesitant to do this. Indiana backed off of it, but we haven't seen the same from blue states. They're going ahead and going forward, pushing forward. Maryland's one of them that's been talking about this. So it could end up hurting Republicans. I think it's a bit too early. We need to see how this plays out. I know I saw a poll recently, though, like 70% of voters really just don't, it doesn't leave a good taste in their mouth, this partisan gerrymandering. So, in the short term, they might be happy. I think the voters in Virginia like Abigail Spanberger right now, like what she's doing. But in the long term, I think there's going to be some regret.
All right, let's leave the Supreme Court and talk about Pam Bondi. From what I understand, the cases against Letitia James, James Comey, everyone kind of thought those were dead, but maybe they're not?
Maybe they're not. So they have an appeal that is the Trump administration through Attorney General Bondi at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they're basically arguing that this lower, that her appointment was unlawful. They're arguing that that was wrong, that basically a judge can't second guess the executive's appointment, that this is a different branch, that's their duty to appoint who they want. And furthermore, it was a grand jury, not Lindsey Holligan, that was the ones that indicted James Comey and Letitia James. They further say, even if there wasn't a problem with the appointment, that the attorney general signed off on these indictments, and that what makes it lawful. We're going to have to see what happens at the Fourth Circuit. I hate to say this, but covering the court so much, it's really going to depend on the three judges that were picked to handle this case. Are they Republican appointees? Are they Democrat appointees? I didn't have time to go dig through the docket and see if they've been appointed yet. So that's one of the things that I will be looking for and paying attention to. You mentioned the Supreme Court. I just want to say, you always ask me about tariffs, and we do have an opinion day coming this Friday. So everyone get excited. It's possible we might finally get that tariff ruling that we've been waiting for now for several weeks or months.
Do you feel like going out on a limb? I'm not asking you to put your stamp on anything. You have some kind of a sense on how they're going to rule on that?
I do. I think last time I talked to you, I don't even know if it was last time, but we did revisit this and I looked at my coverage from leaving the oral arguments. And I always keep a tally when I'm in there about which justice I think is going to fall on what side. And there were some conservative justices that really did express skepticism of the law that President Trump is using to try to make this argument for the emergency powers to implement these tariffs. I think Chief Justice Roberts noted that the word tariffs is not in the law, which obviously, if you're a textualist, that matters. Justice Barrett mentioned how broad the tariffs were. Justice Gorsuch, also a conservative appointee to the court, a Trump appointee, mentioned that if they gave President Trump the green light on this, what does that mean for a Democratic president that could come in next and say, oh, I'm implementing tariffs on all gas-powered cars that are coming into the U.S.? So he looked a little worried about what this could mean, you know, a political tit for tat that could be used by next administrations. So I left kind of thinking the president might lose his tariffs fight.
All right, then. Alex, sure, we'll talk again soon. All right. We just got one of, if not the largest deregulation in the history of the United States of America. What was it? What does it mean to you? We'll talk to Mark Morano about that in just a moment. Before we talk to him, speaking of saving money, are you drowning in high interest debt? Don't feel dumb and don't feel like you're alone. It's extremely common. You have this 20, 30% interest rate debt that's just weighing you down. Well, you know, if you have a mortgage, American Financing can help you, right? This is what they do. They take people with this elephant on their back of high interest debt, and they find a way to work through it. You know, interest rates, mortgage rates are in the fives in some cases right now. American Financing can talk you through it and get you through it. Now, the only little caveat I have to add in there is they can't do anything if you don't get a hold of them. Get a hold of American Financing and see what they've done for so many other people. Look up the reviews. Look what they do. Don't sit there and bang your head off the wall with this high interest debt. Get a hold of them. AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. We'll be back.
The single largest deregulatory action in American history. That's a big statement in American history. And I think we can add the words by far. Under the process just completed by the EPA, we are officially terminating the so-called endangerment finding, a disastrous Obama-era policy that severely damaged the American auto industry and massively drove up prices for American consumers. Prices went up incredibly for a worse product. This action will eliminate over $1.3 trillion of regulatory costs and help bring car prices tumbling down dramatically. You're going to get a better car. You're going to get a car that starts easier, a car that works better for a lot less money.
Well, that sounds wonderful to me. I want Mark Morano to explain it to me. Joining me now, executive editor at ClimateDepot.com. Okay, Mark, what was this thing? Why is it going to make cars cheaper? Music to my ears. I'm about a year away from having to buy one for my youngest. What is all this?
Just some bureaucratic, you know, regulatory thing deep in agencies. Very hard to explain. No, actually, this is one of the most amazing things President Trump has done, because what happened with President Obama in 2009, they determined their EPA to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant under the Clean Air Act, despite the fact the Clean Air Act never explicitly mentioned carbon dioxide. It was passed decades earlier. So what they did is they bypassed democracy. We don't need no stinking Congress. This is what Obama administration's EPA did. And they ended up allowing unelected bureaucrats in the EPA to regulate not only cars, not only the gas mileage and auto stop start, the other regulations and vehicle weight on cars, but also on power plants, on a whole host of every sector of American economy, including agriculture. This was used to do that. So what Trump's doing, rolling out the first step on cars, and this is what Zeldin was talking about, you know, with auto stop start and other things, it's going to be just lifting the ability of unelected bureaucrats to literally regulate all aspects of our economy in the name of fighting pollution. And keep in mind, they redefined carbon dioxide as pollution. We inhale oxygen as humans. We exhale carbon dioxide. We are now considered pollution machines by the EPA, or at least we were under Obama and Biden. So that's what Trump's pulling back. The larger picture here and why this is so significant, this is part of a 1-2 punch. And the first punch was in January when Trump announced we're withdrawing from the 1992, George H.W. Bush, Rio Earth Summit Treaty from the UN. That was the Jenga block at the bottom that can topple the whole international climate scam. And by Trump going after this endangerment finding, that is the Jenga block that can topple the whole domestic climate scam. And there gives a level of permanence here, meaning the next president, Gavin Newsom, President AOC, can't come in and get us back into unelected bureaucrats if Trump's successful with the courts in doing this, and can't get us back into the UN climate scam if we formally withdraw from this treaty, as the administration stated. So this is a 1-2 punch of permanence that Trump 1.0 didn't even contemplate, let alone achieve.
Okay, so what does it mean for me, and when will it mean it, Mark? Am I going to see this at the pump? Is it just when I buy a new car? What does it mean for me?
Okay, they're estimating. I think I hate government estimates. Let's agree on that. That these are nonsense. $2,400 is what the Trump administration estimated. Over $1 trillion over a decade or more. What happens here is this is going to lift regulatory burdens on automakers on things like auto stop start, which was merely an accounting trick that the Obama administration forced on vehicle manufacturers. In other words, you stop at a light, we're gonna cut your car off and then necessitate secondary batteries, which then if a secondary battery goes, it takes out your primary battery. It's also gonna be hard on engines, also gonna be hard on starters. I've talked to many GM mechanics who just roll their eyes that any cars would even include this technology. But once you lift those regulations and they're not there, prices will come down. You're buying a car in a year, I don't know that it's going to have an impact other than sending a market signal and the automakers feel freer. But the problem with automakers diving in and passing these kind of savings on is they're girding themselves for a future President Gavin Newsom or someone who's going to flip this whole agenda. And so there's really no regulatory certainty in our modern world, going from George W. Bush to Obama to Biden to Trump. On climate and energy, it's just been a constant yin-yang. So you'll be paying full price for that car. But hey, by the time your kid gets his own car, another 10 years, then that price should be down, assuming Washington stays a consistent course. So how is that for mealy-mouthed conditional answer for you?
No, that's what I wanted. I wanted to know. I didn't want the flashy headline. The answer is we don't really know, and it's in a wash, but it's a good thing. We're heading in the right direction.
It's a good thing.
All right.
Yes.
Gas prices are absurdly low right now, Mark. It's $2.19 a gallon where I am. I don't like to blame presidents for everything wrong with an economy, nor give them credit for everything that's good in one, but sometimes it is their doing. Is this Trump's doing?
Yes, this is Trump's doing. And I would say on the flip side of that, you have AI driving up utility prices. Home gas and utility prices are going up, and gas has actually gone down so much that it's keeping essentially a slight drop in energy prices in recent times. So to answer your question, absolutely. When Trump first started, and it's day one, he has since day one unleashed 250 legislative and executive and regulatory actions on our economy, particularly on energy. I mean, all of those, the 250 were devoted to energy. And of all of the, pretty much all of the energy commodities, if you will, or sections, whether it's oil, gas, coal, price of gas and oil is going to respond the quickest to market changes. And so by opening up oil drilling, by opening up and reducing regulations, it sends a signal to the marketplace, which is probably more important than actually the increased production, which we're already seeing now in a year. So there's increased supply is going to reduce prices. But sending a signal to that marketplace, and the oil market is really heavily reliant on sort of the futures market, how you feel. And that is what's tanking gas prices. And it really, truly is a Donald Trump movement there, because the U.S. is now relying on our own energy. We're making ourselves do that. And we're doing the same thing in coal. We're doing it in natural gas. The U.S. is the Saudi Arabia of coal. And now the Trump administration is making it so the Pentagon is going to be buying their energy from coal plants, which will help them out. And theoretically, it's an interesting idea and concept, so that could help. But that's going to take a little longer because, again, you're dealing with it's a long ramp up to get coal production increased, or even to trying to save the existing coal plants that have been decimated under Obama and Biden.
All right, Mark. Well, I mean, I hate to stay on the same subject here, but my friends in California, they're not paying $2.19 a gallon. Can you dumb this down for us? Why are some states like mine paying $2.19 and others very much not?
Yeah. Very simply, it's first of all gas taxes. And you'll find the blue states like California, Massachusetts, and you know, Washington State are going to have double, triple gas prices that red states would have. That's number one. Number two, they're going to have massive restrictions on drilling and extraction on blue states, including California. And more importantly, in the direct case of California, you have the refinery issue where Gavin Newsom, after decades of being in any office or at least years, basically harming all these oil refineries, he's now begging them to stay. They're leaving, so California is just left in the lurch. And a lot of this is just massive regulations, and it's beyond even just directly relating to gas. It's just the whole cost of living in a state like California, where house prices are more, food prices are more. Everything is more because the state is all about the baseline of rising energy costs and putting all these regulations on that do that. So they're just more expensive because they have the heavy hand of government at every level married to a climate ideology that wants to restrict and then believes that solar and wind are going to replace it. And they were also directly at war. California was ground zero for the battle and the war against gas-powered cars. That's where you had the unelected bureaucrats of the California Air Resources Board announce they were going to ban the gas-powered automobile, which then led to Biden's EPA following suit, et cetera. And this is where you end up with, you have counties in California who are banning the creation of new gas stations, not making that up. They're actually, in order to fight climate change, are going to try to limit the number of gas stations to what's already existing. They don't want new gas stations put online. The idea is somehow to save the planet, reduce emissions. All of that adds up to more. It's complete insanity. And anyone who lives in a state like that deserves it. Sorry, I didn't mean to be so callous there.
No, callous is welcome here, Mark. Everyone knows I'm not exactly soft and cuddly. Okay, so, Mark, finally, the Potomac River, it's a big story the last 24, 48 hours that there's a mass amount of sewage. I think I have that right, yes. Sewage pouring into the Potomac River. If I don't have that right, school me up. What is happening in the Potomac River and why?
They have a sewage system known as the Interceptor, which essentially broke down. It was ancient, needed replacing, needed repairs, needed maintenance. But guess what? The Potomac River, under the DC authority, under even with Maryland's help with regulatory scheme, it was all neglected for decades. You know what wasn't neglected in Maryland and DC? And this is why President Trump is going after the Maryland governor, Wes Moore. Here's what wasn't neglected. The Climate Solutions Act being touted by the current Maryland governor, not raw sewage, not treating raw sewage or closing up that and fixing it, but they're still bragging, and this was the thrust of their environmental policy was not to prevent raw sewage. It was reduce CO2 by 2031, net zero by 2045, 100% clean electricity, let's make EVs everywhere, same exact thing in DC. This is where the focus has been. You go look at the Inflation Reduction Act of Joe Biden, that was all focused on solar and wind and carbon capture. It was not an infrastructure bill, as they'd like you to believe. And so what ends up happening here is this a big pipe burst, up to 300 million gallons of raw sewage pouring into the Potomac. There's been studies, University of Maryland, it's like 2,000 plus times the level of safe E. coli and other bacteria for human consumption. And it goes on for weeks and weeks. And now we're looking at months before they can do a proper repair. They think they have a stopgap repair. And this is why Trump's EPA is getting involved, because the state and local localities have just been, their eye has been off the ball. Climate change has literally hijacked the environmental movement. So real environmental issues like lead in the drinking water, toxic waste, and sewage spills in the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., are allowed to go for weeks on end, and it's going to take months to fix. This is the state of our world. And if you compare what Trump's EPA is doing to what Biden's EPA did in East Palestine when they had the toxic plume, you couldn't even get Joe Biden to talk about East Palestine. Buttigieg wouldn't even show up there. And now at least Trump is recognizing that the local authorities here are not doing the job, and he's bringing in the federal, who are usually just have an overseeing regulatory aspect. They're usually not on the ground, but they're going to have to be, because Maryland and D.C. are so steeped in climate bull bleep that they have no other choice. They have to worry about raw sewage. So I don't know. They actually believe that climate's the existential threat, but 300 million gallons of raw sewage in the Potomac, yeah, we'll get to that.
Ugh. Mark, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And hey, sometimes it hurts to hear, but we've talked about it before. We talked about it last night. We get the government we deserve. We do. Jasmine Crockett accurately represents her district. The mayor of Philadelphia short-circuited on camera, and this is Philadelphia.
What does the term sanctuary city mean to you, Mayor?
What I want to tell you about Philadelphia, and this is extremely important, that you, Claudia Vargas, have been provided an answer to the question that you just asked from our city solicitor, Philadelphia. That means the chief lawyer for the city of Philadelphia. Rene Garcia is our city solicitor. And what we are, the term we use to describe our city, is that we are a welcoming city.
The question you asked. Hey, this lady, the mayor of Philadelphia, she's the same one who couldn't spell Eagles?
E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles! Let's go, birds!
I don't think that's right. All you can do is laugh. Otherwise, we'll cry. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.